Chicago. This is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, professors, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight, featuring commentary by Mark Carbonaggi, Amara Enya, Doug Ibendahl, Mike Miller, and Doug McMarlin. Our program tonight coming to you from our own base at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago, where our phone lines are open toll-free at 1-800-723-8289. If you'd like to email me a comment, it's Bruce Dumont at museum.tv. If you want to tweet me a comment, it's @Dumo. And if you want to join us on the World Wide Web, the audio and video portion of the broadcast, it is beyondthebeltway.com. There are 29 days to go before Election Day, and there's less than an hour and a half to go before the big debate, the second presidential debate going on in St. Louis tonight. It will follow this broadcast on probably every radio station that carries this program, and certainly on all the major television networks. And again, there is lots to talk about. Generally speaking, the second or the third presidential debates, the ratings are usually down. There's a little less interest because all the hype was for the first debate. I would suspect that tonight the ratings for this debate actually might be better than debate number one, just because of what has happened in the last week in politics, certainly the last almost 4 or 5 days. And again, what we know based on the revelations of Donald Trump and based on the WikiLeaks that have come out about Hillary Clinton, what we know is that Donald Trump occasionally talks lewd and says crude and embarrassing things in private. We know that. And we know that Hillary Clinton, when she's behind closed doors, perhaps says things that aren't exactly the same things that she says when she's speaking to a large crowd. So we have the issue of one's temperament. We have the question of one's honesty. And we have two issues that are playing out here that really call each candidate into question as to whether or not they're prepared to lead the free world. And tonight I'm going to start with you, Amara, because you're a Democrat. You were for Bernie Sanders. You have not been an enthusiastic Hillary Clinton supporter. But with all the news on both the Republican and Democratic side now, what's your reaction to the news on both sides in the last 5 days?
Well, it's been sort of just confirming what I already knew about both candidates. On the Donald Trump side, I mean, it really wasn't surprising. I mean, he's had many of these very same comments and things that he said in the past. But again, he showed himself for who he was. On the Clinton side, with the revelation of the alleged transcripts, it just reinforced again some of the issues that people like myself who supported Senator Sanders had with her forthrightness and with the conversations with Wall Street and whether or not that jives with how she presents herself.
Doug Ibendahl, you are a card-carrying Trump supporter. You've been on this program a lot. Your reaction to this latest incident, and a lot of people say this is the absolute end. They cannot go further. There's been a lot of high-level Republican defections, public defections from Donald Trump since this story broke. Well, what is your reaction to the story? And would you acknowledge that this is maybe the most, or I can't say the most, one of the most embarrassing things that has been publicly stated about him from his mouth with a tape?
Probably. No one can deny it was a crass comment that was said in private, got picked up by a hot mic. It was crass. It's unfortunate, which Donald Trump acknowledges. Donald Trump immediately took responsibility. He's not, you know, pointing fingers. He's not complaining about, you know, why was it that this private conversation that was done by the network that he made a lot of money for, why was it disclosed 11 years after it was recorded? Why now? He's not doing that. He's owning up to it, says it was wrong. I think he's honestly embarrassed about it, and he's apologized. And I think that's very refreshing for in politics and for a political candidate. And that's something that we've never seen from the Clintons, by the way.
One second. I want to go to Mike Carbonaggi. He is a Hillary Clinton supporter. You're a chairman of the Cook County Board of Review, so you're a big deal in Cook County where we do this program. You're for Hillary. The revelations about Hillary, are they disturbing to you?
No. Well, they're the alleged allegations. I mean, if you're referring to the most recent D.C. WikiLeaks, right. leaks of some transcripts, the campaign itself has said they haven't had a chance to take a look at these transcripts and verify their authenticity. What we do know is that earlier this week, the domestic intelligence agencies of this country, the CIA, Pentagon, and others, got together and finally said, yes, they can confirm it was Russian hacking of the DNC and of the Hillary for America campaign. So we're not sure exactly what the veracity of it is. I would say this was, if you believe the allegations, this was behind closed doors to a financial services trade association. I haven't looked at the transcripts to see what it says.
Who paid her a lot of money, which made these WikiLeaks reports, they underscore everything that Bernie Sanders was asking for during the primary. And it's the second, in addition to what we know the DNC leaks proved, it proved that Bernie Sanders was right on target with his denunciations.
Well, but you bring up Senator Sanders. Senator Sanders has been campaigning with Secretary Clinton
right.
to say that they're in alignment. So, I mean,
but a lot of his supporters are not.
And
I want to follow up on that, but I do want to get Mike Miller in this. Mike, you are usually a Republican, but mm-hmm. people who have listened to this show, you're from DePaul University, you're an economist, you absolutely cannot vote for Donald Trump, and you've said you're going to vote for Gary Johnson.
I am, and it was solidified by what happened this week. But one thing that is clear is that character matters. My colleagues and I had huge battles in the 90s during the Clinton trouble. And, of course, the idea was it was only about sex, and it doesn't matter. Somehow that doesn't count when it's Trump. And they said the character doesn't matter. I'm absolutely convinced that character matters. Neither one has the character to be president. I just can't pull it for either one. Gary Johnson is a bit flighty, but he was a hell of a governor. He's running with a man who was a very good governor, and I will have no trouble voting for him.
Do you think, Doug, that this issue is going to be brought up? Do you think that Donald Trump is going to go after Bill Clinton and his relationship and Hillary's relationship? Is that a good strategy for him to use tonight? Will that help him with suburban women by going that road?
Well, my prediction is the first thing he'll do is apologize again for those remarks, because I do think he is truly sorry. I think he's going to apologize again, but then tonight he does need to be very aggressive with the Clintons. This debate tonight is more important than the first one. This is very, very important, and he does need to be very aggressive with the Clintons, and I think that should mostly be on the issues, which Trump actually is. You know, wins hands down. It's the Clintons who don't want to talk about.
But can't he? But that's the point.
Wait, hold on. Is Doug actually saying the Clintons don't want to talk about the issues?
Of course he can. Well, first of all, I think it's always better. The issue is not the Clintons' many scandals per se, and there are a lot of them. And it's people say, oh, well, you know, Hillary Clinton isn't the one who sexually assaulted all of these women and had all of the, you know, we got two things with Bill. We got the consensual affairs, and then we've got the credible allegations of sexual assault and even rape. And you say, well, Bill's not running this time. Well, Hillary was the enabler. Hillary led the smear campaigns against all those women.
So the issue
is hypocrisy.
When we come back, Mike, we're going to go to you. You're going to get a chance to respond to that, and we're going to take calls at 1-800-723-8089. 1-800-723-8289. I'm Bruce Dumont.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
Thank you all very much, Admiral Kelly, Captain Card, officers and sailors of the USS Abraham Lincoln, my fellow Americans. Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
My name is Johnny Carson. My job is to make you laugh.
Johnny Carson brings you TV legends and classic moments every night on Antenna TV.
Don't make fun of me, Johnny.
And now through October, don't miss Here's Johnny, the making of The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. It's a must-see collection of Johnny's stage props, costumes, video, and more. For more info and tickets, go to museum.tv.
Bruce Dumont back, and Mike Carbonaggi, you had a point that you were going to make because you disagreed with virtually everything Doug Ibenthal said.
I appreciate that Doug used the phrase a hot mic for Donald Trump, that he got caught in a hot mic. I'm glad to see he found a mic that worked, because during the last debate, he complained that the mic didn't work.
Which the commission admitted, by the way.
Sure. The commission did admit.
But I think we know that mic did work. I don't think he's arguing with people at Access Hollywood.
So let's get into what – speak to the issue, which seems to be the main issue of the Trump campaign, and that is that Hillary Clinton has been an enabler, was enabler for Bill Clinton. And we're really not talking about what Bill Clinton did.
Sure.
The Trump people are trying to talk about what she did.
Right. They can't have it both ways. They can't talk and say, well, character doesn't count. What happened 11 years ago doesn't really matter. Let's talk about the issues and then talk about people that aren't on the ballot. Voters are going to vote for one of two people, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. That's who they get to vote for. Or Gary Johnson or other candidates. But just on the election day, in terms of major parties, those are the people that they can go out and vote for. Those are the people that are on there. You know, this week we've seen just a watershed. We've seen Rand's previous yesterday, according to news reports, has told the RNC to pull in their money, no longer help Trump. We've seen editorial boards in Florida, Pennsylvania, Iowa, Ohio come out and give affirmative endorsements of Hillary Clinton. The Columbus Dispatch, which hasn't endorsed a Democrat in 100 years, endorsed Hillary Clinton this week. We've seen Speaker of the House pull his support away. We've seen John McCain pull his support away.
What does that – in your politics, what does it mean when a candidate withdraws their support? How many people are going to say, you know what, I'm not voting for Donald Trump because Paul Ryan's not voting for Donald Trump?
It's a dog whistle, and it's an affirmative whistle to the field organization in that state. Pull it back.
Well, come on.
In a competitive state like Wisconsin, when Speaker of the House Ryan says, I'm not going to appear with him, that sends message to the precinct captains, the volunteers, the phone bankers. You know what? I'm going to focus not on making Trump calls and knocking on Trump doors. I'm going to go in and see who the people are really hearing.
Doug, just speak to that point.
There is not a single person or entity that's supposedly purportedly withdrawn. Withdrawing its support from Donald Trump that actually wasn't always against him all the time from the very beginning.
Including
McCain or Paul Ryan, you know, gave some because when Trump was ahead in most of the polls and they were getting so much pressure from their constituents, why aren't you on board? They sort of did a very lackadaisical endorsement, but they've been hoping and praying and looking for the next opportunity to stab Donald Trump in the back. It is simple as that. And you know what? Donald Trump has already apologized. I assume he's going to again. But you know what? I'm a lot less concerned about what Donald Trump said his words 11 years ago, as bad as they may be, but I'm a lot more concerned about Hillary Clinton's actions. Donald Trump has never done anything. Hillary Clinton's actions have gotten thousands of people killed. Her bad judgment, her incompetence,
the victim derangement of Trump supporters
in Libya and Benghazi has actually gotten people killed.
What I think is hilarious about this.
You're going to ride your high horse around about some words 11 years ago?
Let's let Mike respond. Mike.
Well, there's a couple of points. I think the Clinton campaign probably could have saved money on opposition research. Instead of hiring their opposition research team, they should have just used Google. That would have saved them a lot of money. All this stuff about Donald Trump has been out there. And
this stuff about what? You mean creating jobs and opportunity for women and blacks?
He hasn't paid taxes. As President,
sure
as Secretary Clinton has brought up.
Of course, yes, he has.
We haven't seen his income tax returns. He says he's successful. He admits he lost $1 billion. So we're not exactly sure what his contribution
is. He wrote a whole book about that.
It should be in the fiction section.
Everybody, calm down. Amara, I want to go to you, okay? You're the only woman on the panel this evening. What is your take on what Hillary Clinton did following revelations from women against her husband? I know it was a long time ago, but an issue here right now is that this person who's purported and presented herself as a feminist for 40 years, that maybe in that time when her husband was under attack, that maybe she didn't really act like a feminist. What's your take on that?
That's something that I have grappled with when just in the few details that I knew about some of the revelations about her husband's indiscretions, and even more so than indiscretions, allegations of rape and sexual assault, I understand a wife wanting to stick by her husband and wanting to defend her husband, but I also think there's a line to be drawn. When it comes to sexual assault, rape, allegations, you simply cannot co-sign wrong. And I think that her position is actually going after some of the women who did come out with these allegations, put her in the same, in my opinion, the same box as her husband, because you're essentially supporting his actions. And then to turn around and say this is for women, and to talk about women, solidarity with women, it just sends a mixed message.
What message? I mean, you've articulated what I think I've heard from many women. There's a lot of very strong women who are supportive of her. How should she address this tonight? What should she say tonight that would make you a little more comfortable in her conduct following these revelations years ago?
What I expect and what I want and what I've been hoping for from Hillary Clinton since the beginning has been: be forthright, be transparent, be authentic. Don't spend your time trying to say what you think people want to say. Just speak frankly and openly. That is what engenders trust. And she hasn't been able to do that well, which is why people still distrust her. So if there's anything that she can say tonight that would give me a certain level of comfort, or say, okay, maybe I'll think about her a little bit differently, it would be just being honest.
Mike, is there anything that Donald Trump could say tonight that would make you rethink whether you would vote for him?
No. My problems with him also had to do with his economic policies. He has some very good economic advisors. I like both of them, Stephen Moore and Larry Kudlow and a few others. Very smart guys. Unfortunately, he doesn't listen to them, and his economic policies are wrong. That was the first thing that turned me against him. Character is the second thing. He's part of the problem. But, you know, I was shocked this week when he was accused of not paying taxes. You need to call the IRS and ask them why, over all those years, they didn't bring him to jail. He didn't pay taxes because he lived within the law. And his accountants, who have a fiduciary responsibility to him, had to make sure that they gave him the best shot possible and to pay as few taxes as possible. If they didn't do that, they had to be sued. So I can't believe you think this is somehow a bad thing that the man paid no taxes.
I want to hear from Mike. Mike, you deal with this
subject.
There are people out there right now working for 10, 12, 15 bucks an hour who pay income taxes, and they have to decide who feels with them. Again, we're talking about who connects with them. And when he gets up there and interrupts Secretary Clinton and says, I don't pay taxes because I'm smart, they feel like, you know what, I'm busting my hump right now. I'm saving money for my kids' tuition if I'm lucky enough to send them to college. I'm paying a mortgage note. I'm paying a car note. If you're a young person, you're paying back your student loans. And there's a guy who says in the same breath, I'm successful. You lost $1 billion. Yeah, and I didn't pay taxes. I don't quite understand.
You know as well as I do that there's a difference between income tax and payroll tax and capital gains taxes.
Right.
And we have different capital gains taxes because people take risks.
But we haven't seen any of his taxes conversation. We haven't seen his returns to have any of this conversation.
Wait a second, Mike.
Hold on. He's in the middle of an audit. There's no prohibition at all from somebody who's being audited saying, especially.
But I think to speak to Mike's point. Let me ask this. Mike, to speak to Mike's, Mike Miller's point, the law says that if you take a loss, you can take a loss over many years. So what he did, in fact, even in the New York Times story, they say he could perhaps have not paid tax. They didn't say he did. So and they said everything that he did was – nothing was illegal. They said my question is, I'm saying, getting back to the political side.
Sure.
Yeah.
Joe and Mabel average six-pack out there. Maybe they're not in that league, but do they have to be educated about the tax laws, that this is the way the tax laws are? And yes,
if you
are wealthy and you can hire and you can hire advisors, they're going to save you every penny they possibly can, just as they would for any Democrat. Nobody likes to pay taxes. But does this have to be educated to the voters at a time when instead of just saying, you know what, he's rich and he's not paying his fair share.
Because
a lot of people would say, right, you know, there's a lot of people in this country, right, who don't pay any taxes. And you know what? They're not contributing to the military and the schools and everything else, just like they accused Donald Trump of not contributing to those efforts.
This goes back to the very important point of just like the WikiLeaks and verifying information that's out there, we haven't seen his tax returns to have this conversation. you know, the New York, the New York. It would matter immensely to see who he's doing business with, what his charitable
That's
contributions
the job of
are,
the IRS
what
he's
doing. Mike, let me ask you a question. You are a Democrat elected official in Cook County, one of the most overtaxed places on earth. Have you ever paid more taxes than you are legally required to pay? Have you ever paid more in taxes than you were legally required to pay?
No,
of course not. But you expect Donald Trump to. Why?
But it's not
Donald
it's
Trump.
Not,
would, it is undisputed. No one has even has an allegation.
No, but you guys
that
can't
Donald
have it both
Trump
ways. You
what
can't
he
say he's a successful
but I think the issue is
more money.
Not necessarily what the issue
Amara,
is not
Amara, 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 Amara.
The underlying issue, I think, is not necessarily what's legal. There are many things that are legal, but the question is, what are those principles and what's ethical? A lot of people have an issue with Donald Trump supposedly not paying his taxes because they see someone who is very well. But this is what the issue is. A lot of people have an issue with him not seeming to pay his taxes because they're working every single day and every last dime that they have extra is going to pay those taxes. So there's a principle at play. Yes, we can educate the public to say, well, this is how the tax system works. But just like right here in Cook County, just like right here in the city of Chicago, where if you have the money and the resources to navigate that space, then you can do it effectively. But so many do not, and they end up having to pay.
I know, but that's a fair point.
I guarantee Donald Trump has paid more in taxes than everyone at this table.
And
if you add them all up, all the different kinds of taxes he's paid, are you kidding me?
I know there's 1-800-723-8029. When we come back, we've got some callers on the line. We'll bring them into the conversation. Don't forget the big debate tonight. We're previewing it right here on Beyond the Beltway.
If you look hard enough, go off the beaten track far enough, you'll find an America teeming with the unusual, the odd, the downright strange.
I'm Will Klinger, and I'm your guide on a package tour we like to call
Wild Travels.
Join me for a new season of Wild Travels, Sundays at 10:30 p.m. on WTTW Channel 11.
The Museum of Broadcast Communications is Chicago's perfect place for senior citizens. Enjoy a stroll down memory lane. Reminisce as museum artifacts, photos, and classic TV shows trigger recollections from your childhood. Enjoy the TLC you'll receive from our expert tour guides. Discounts for groups of 20 or more. Schedule yours right now at museum.tv or call 312-245-8200. Plan your fun trip now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Come on back in Chicago. Thanks very much for joining us. We have lots of callers on the line. Let's head to Tom, who's listening to us in Southern Illinois on WJTF. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead.
And I was wanting to speak about the integrity of the president.
Keep going, sir.
When Clinton was governor or running for governor, I think some of his sexual scandals happened there before he entered the Oval Office.
Yes.
And another thing also, you know, I'm proud to say that I'm voting for Donald Trump because I'm a 67-year-old white male, and I've seen America good, and I've seen what America is now. And a big thing with me is our military. In this dangerous time we live in, I think the way, like Ronald Reagan says, you keep the peace through strength. I'm against open borders, especially when the enemy says they're going to come in. You know, and as far as the taxes go, it was reported also that Bill and Hillary did the same thing Donald did in April of 2015. Mm-hmm. So my vote is voting for America, not for me, but for America, okay. The children, okay. The Supreme Court nominations and all that.
Tom, thank you very much for your call. We're going to move on to John listening to us in St. Charles, Illinois. Go ahead, John. You're on the air. John, are you there? All right, let's go to Brian on line two. And Roselle, are you there, Brian?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Good evening, Bruce, and everybody.
Hello.
First, let me say, I do not like Donald Trump. I never did. But I despise Bill, and Hillary Clinton. And I think that summarizes a lot of Americans. You know, let's remember, Donald Trump runs his mouth and tells a lot of lies, and nobody's surprised by it. And what did Don do? He ran his mouth and said some really gross things. But let's remember, what did Bill Clinton do as president of the United States? You know, Donald Trump, he didn't, dribble his DNA on his 22-year-old intern like President Bill Clinton did. Remember that? Anybody remember that?
I do. And it was in all the papers.
Right. Now, the American media is a big problem. It's just another instance that shows how poor American media is. It's like they have no memory. All they do is look for the latest big squabble, the latest big scandal, and then just, you know, raise a big stink about stuff. But they have no historical perspective. Yeah. You know,
but Brian, let me ask you about the two issues, however, that we're talking about. There have been two big stories. There's the WikiLeaks stories, which the news media is playing. And again, the other issue is they're playing the story about the audio tape. When you actually have audio tape or videotape, remember 3 weeks ago, it was the videotape of Hillary, you know, falling and almost collapsing going into the van, you know, on September 11th. I mean, that video affected, I think, a lot of people, and this audio tape may or may not affect a lot of people. It did happen 11 years ago, and it was at least apparently, you know, locker room type talk, and certainly it is offensive to some people. That language is very offensive to some people, and because they do have this tape, I mean, would you expect the media not to use the tape?
I would expect them to use it, yes. But let's remember a lot of the other dumb things that were said on a hot mic. Remember Jesse Jackson saying that how he wanted to cut Barack Obama's testes off because he was challenging Hillary in the primary? Remember him saying that on a hot mic?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be a criminal offense. You know, he was thinking about committing an assault. you know, it just goes on and on and on and on. It's like the media, all they want is the latest scandal, and there's no perspective. There's no historical knowledge put into anything.
Okay.
And it's really idiotic.
Brian, thank you for your call. We're going to move to Steve listening to us on WNTK in New Hampshire. Go ahead. You're on the air, Steve.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. A few things. One is I think you and Doug have misstated something.
Okay.
It is not the words that offend people. I mean, the words obviously offend people, but locker room banner, yeah, sure. You talk about, or you're walking down the street, you see a pretty woman, you may mention something to your buddy. However, his words were more than words. They actually reflected what he has done. He wasn't saying he doesn't
allegedly
do this. Well, but it was his words.
Oh, yeah, no.
Well, I mean, so allegedly, all right, Trump has allegedly used words that indicate that this is what he's done. Okay, but it's his words saying what he was doing. So it's not just normal talk between guys that have no relevance. This is actually, and then when you combine that with the idea that I think you said 11 years ago, he's 59 years old. He wasn't 13 years old.
No, I understand that. It was not a youthful, but I guess, you know, here's another issue, and I want to get everybody's reaction to it, and I have to be very delicate the way I put this out because I don't want to be accused of anything. But if you were to walk by a construction site anywhere in the world and play the audio tape of Donald Trump, which we will do in the next segment, I don't think there would be much reaction in a negative way to that audio tape. If you were to go into any locker room in any sport in the world and play that tape, I don't think there would be much reaction to it. If you walked into an office where most of the workers, male workers, were white or black, they would probably, the number of people that would be offended by that would be significantly greater. We have guttural language, locker room talk, back of the bus, boys will be boys chat. And by the way, Billy Bush, I don't think he helped his career by involving himself in this as well, somewhat of an instigator, or laughing along like a teenage boy listening to some other guy tell of a conquest. But I'm wondering, is part of this is the way that different type of men react differently?
I think the underlying issue is the normalization of misogynist, dialogue, conversations, which ultimately leads to misogynistic behavior in many cases. What he said, to normalize and to say that this is the conversation that takes place in locker rooms, that's still wrong. In fact, that's even more wrong because there are women who walk past those construction sites, and as a woman, this is, it brings up, I mean, I've seen over the last several days women who are confessing their stories of experiences where they've been groped, they've been harassed, they've been molested, they've been catcalled, whatever. All of these things because society has normalized this kind of talk.
I agree with that. But my broader question is, there are different types of men who react to this story. Yeah. And if you wear a suit or a tie, or you're a college professor, or you're a lawyer, you are going to be more offended by that, more, I'm talking in the broad terms now, more offended by that than if you come and you work in an environment where that sort of language, although it may be deplorable, it certainly is frequent.
I think part of it is the power dynamic also. What really is troubling about Donald Trump's comments is the fact that he leverages his white privilege, he leverages his male privilege, he leverages his wealth privilege, and he holds that he leverages it all against women, which speaks to the kind of person that he is.
Well, no, I respect what you're saying, Mara, but here's a couple of things, and again, those comments were bad. Trump's acknowledged that, but notice what happens. He gets off that bus. He's having this this immature, you know, locker room talk with
Billy Bush.
But then he gets off the bus, and he's a perfect gentleman to that woman there, and that's what's so unfortunate, and why he's so sorry about those comments, because it doesn't fit the man. I mean,
Billy Bush asked the woman to kiss Donald Trump.
Yeah, compare those words. Not defending those, but compare those words to Trump's actual life experience over decades, which is one of hiring and promoting women, creating jobs and opportunity for women. Actually, if you actually look into his company, the Trump Empire, women executives are actually better paid than the men are. He's been a pioneer on creating jobs in construction that no one else was doing.
But Mike, I want to get Mike's reaction to sort of my assessment of the different reaction of men around the country.
I just think it's funny. You know, Jeb Bush spent over $100 million to try and take down Donald Trump, and Billy Bush did it. I mean, talk about irony. The entertainment celebrity reporter for Access Hollywood did what Jeb Bush couldn't do, What I love is that the idea that what his public persona of who he tries to portray is the more accurate versus the stuff when thinks he's not on mic and he can talk and say, you know what, when you're rich and famous and a white guy, you can do whatever you want to a woman.
You're shilling for a candidate
Billy, it's great.
Who's been destroying
Billy, it's great.
People's
when we get off this bus,
decades,
when we get off this
sir,
bus, I can physically assault have you women. It's great.
One time.
That Mike was Bowman. What Amara's got it. You nailed it. And there's a difference between me responding to the beauty of a woman and then feeling entitled that I can take advantage of her.
Precisely.
And that's the line that I think he crossed. There's locker room talk when you talk about women, their physical appearance or whatever, just from the – men are pigs from that perspective. But there's a difference between then taking advantage of that woman.
Yeah.
All those things you listed – he was entitled to grab that thing and to do what he wanted.
There's no evidence he's actually done it.
Mike asked the question.
You suggest
that Billy Bush released this. We don't know that Billy Bush released the information. Yeah. If he did, I think he's foolish because I think he looks pretty bad on these tapes as well.
No, he did. There's no indication he did.
But NBC
had it for 4 days.
Or a division of NBC. I mean, somebody thought that somewhere in their archives they could probably find a piece of tape of Donald Trump saying something.
And those they were so concerned about it, they kept him on the air for years after that, making money off of it.
Probably,
they were so concerned.
That probably came up recently, but somebody on that staff said, you know what, I think there may be something there. It might have been, frankly, the audio engineer who was on that shoot that said, you know what, I remember Donald Trump saying something, and then that began an investigation. There'll be stories written about how this story came out, because this video is not good. Back shortly.
The beauty of Amlink's interior landscape is that we can come in, work with your budget, and create a fit that makes sense for your facility at that time. Our goal is to create foliage designs that not only look incredible the day we put them in, but you can go back 2 years later and it is still maintained and has grown as a perfect fit for that customer's environment.
Call Amlinks now at 888-880-TREE.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
There can be no stable and enduring peace without the participation of the People's Republic of China and its 750 million people. That is why I have undertaken initiatives in several areas to open the door for more normal relations between our two countries.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. I don't know where you may have been if you've not seen or heard the tape involving Donald Trump. This was a tape recorded on a bus. This was a promotional tour that Access Hollywood was involved in. This is 2005. Billy Bush was the host of the show at that point, and he and Donald Trump were basically in the bus getting sort of mic'd up for an interview. And again, let's take a listen to what was said by Donald Trump. Then you'll hear some bleeps because this is a family show. Back shortly.
I moved on her and I failed. I'll admit it.
Whoa.
I did try. She was married. I gotta use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't need to wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything. Grab them by the. I can do anything.
Hello. How are you? Hi.
Trump, how
nice
are you?
Seeing you. Terrific.
Nice to meet you.
Terrific.
How about a little hug for the Donnelly? Just got off the bus.
Like a little
okay,
hug,
absolutely. Melania said this was okay.
Melania said it was okay. Well, Melania doesn't think that those comments were okay because she came out and blasted her. Well, not blasted, perhaps. She was disappointed in those words as well. Donald Trump took a while, but he finally went on Facebook, and this is what he had to say in offering his apology.
Who knows me knows these words don't reflect who I am. I said it, I was wrong, and I apologize. I've said some foolish things, but there's a big difference between the words and actions of other people. Bill Clinton has actually abused women, and Hillary has bullied, attacked, shamed, and intimidated his victims.
All right. There'll be more on that coming up in the debate in about an hour and 10 minutes. Let's go to Jeannie in Austin, Texas. She wants to join the discussion this evening. Go ahead, Jeannie.
Hi. Hi, everyone. I just, you know what? You gave me chills a while ago when you said you were naming all the different descriptions of if men in a locker room heard this versus the
yes.
other, you know, they would not be offended or they would just, why wouldn't they be offended? See, this is the culture. I am so disgusted right now. And it's a sad situation in this whole election, if you ask me. I'm a survivor of incest rape by my biological father. I have lived and you know, gone through counseling, gone through many years of research myself now to be able to even talk to you right now without breaking down. I've lived this. And to me, we are not teaching our young men, boys, and that's the parents' responsibility to say, it's wrong. What about the big documentary that came out on CNN this year that showed all the collegians and NFL players that have raped women, and guess what? Nothing happens to them. We're just going down a tube of just barbarians as far as sexual exploitation of women. It seems like no one cares. Why doesn't anyone care? I'm an animal community political activist, and I'm going to speak. I'm also a musician, you know, here in Austin. Singing Lady Revolution, and I speak about and sing about all these issues. But to me, what's even sadder, because even within my family, and this happens to many victims, you're not believed. I still have aunts and uncles who don't believe. I have a huge family. I have many family members that still don't believe that my dad raped me when I was 11 years old. So on Hillary's side, you're going to tell me 20-something women that came forward of assault and rape, et cetera, that they're not believed? Oh, that's like saying the 50-something women of Cosby are not to be believed. We need to wake up. And you know what? Thank you for talking about this. Sorry I'm getting passionate, but it's just sad. I don't understand why. If I lived in Washington, Washington. I kid you not, I would be protesting every day to bring, you know, obviously we're getting exposure. Why? Because he was caught on the hot mic. What about that host of Access Hollywood? No one has said anything about him, and he was laughing the whole time.
I said, I think Billy Bush's career at NBC is short-lived.
And it should be. I mean, I just have to emphasize the fact that the problem that this normalization of misogyny, the fact that people wouldn't respond, the fact that you can have a group of men who this is the banter and they might laugh along or chuckle like Billy Bush did, that's a problem because there are very real consequences for women. And I think that's what really bothers me and bothers other women, because this isn't something that's just ha-ha, okay, it's another Trump antic. It underscores a lot of abuse and harassment and sexual assault that women actually experience. And to have a presidential candidate who, whether he was hot-mic'd or not, it shows your state of mind. It shows how you're thinking.
Again, I respect what you're saying, but that's what's unfortunate about those private comments. It is completely inconsistent with Donald Trump's life and his actual actions, where he's been a huge champion of women.
There have been a couple of huge instances, champion. For example, the former Mrs. Universe.
But I think it speaks to the fact that again, I mean, he's gone through several marriages, and a second relationship frequently has started before the other one ended legally. So, I mean, he has that public record as well, that, I mean, he has not been faithful to his wife.
But can I say something?
If you're not faithful to your wife, then talking like this may not be so unusual.
Let me say something just very quickly. You know, American people believe in forgiveness. I mean, that's sort of our Judeo-Christian culture. Donald Trump has asked for forgiveness, something that, you know, Bill and Hillary Clinton will never do. He's asked for forgiveness. If this could actually end up being a very positive for his campaign, because people like a redemption story. I mean, I don't get on my high horse here, but think about the Bible. Who are the biggest heroes in the Bible? You know, you got David, Samson. There are men who have made big mistakes and redeem themselves, and quite frankly, they're about men acting foolishly about women.
I want to get Michael's response to that.
This is awesome. You just compared Donald Trump to Samson out of the Bible.
better hair.
In his dream right now, he wishes you were outside the Trump Tower going, I like that guy. There are news reports that looks like this is not going to be the last time we're going to hear about these conversations he's had. The producers of Howard Stern have made their transcripts available about his calls into there. He has said offensive things regularly on the mic, not a hot mic.
That's right.
This is not locker room conversation
not
that he had.
Yeah. Not news.
But it's not a one-off. It's not a private conversation off the record. Public conversation on the record.
Just as an aside,
the producers and one of the producers of The Apprentice went on Twitter today and said Donald doesn't own the production company transcripts of that. We have conversations from off the record that were, again, hot mics from The Apprentice that may be going live as well. So this is not
again,
the end of the conversation.
It's not going to go over. When we come back, by the way, our 1-800-723-8029. When we come back, we're going to get some reaction from a professional, a longtime political activist, and we'll continue to take your phone calls. And also, we're going to ask the question, what if Donald Trump stepped down? Back shortly.
Everyone loves vacationing in Florida. So why not experience it as it was meant to be? Where turquoise Gulf waters meet tranquil island beaches. Feel the powder-soft sand between your toes. Revel in a glorious island sunset. Shop the boutiques of a seaside village. Ride horseback along tranquil waters. This is Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key. Real, authentic Florida, where you can discover an intimate downtown and sip cappuccino at a sidewalk cafe. Catch fresh fish for dinner. Even tour a working winery. Just minutes from all the rest Florida has to offer. Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key. Plan your visit online at BradentonGulfIslands.com. That's BradentonGulfIslands.com.
The beauty of Amling's interior landscape is that we can come in, work with your budget, and create a fit that makes sense for your facility at that time. Our goal is to create foliage designs that not only look incredible the day we put them in, but you can go back 2 years later and it is still maintained and has grown as a perfect fit for that customer's environment.
Call Amlings now at 888-880-TREE.
If you look hard enough, go off the beaten track far enough, you'll find an America teeming with the unusual, the odd, the downright strange.
I'm Will Klinger, and I'm your guide on a package tour we like to call
Wild Travels.
Join me for a new season of Wild Travels, Sundays at 10:30 p.m. on WTTW Channel 11.
My name is Johnny Carson. My job is to make you laugh.
Johnny Carson brings you TV legends and classic moments every night.
Don't make fun of me, Johnny.
And now through October, don't miss Here's Johnny, the making of The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. It's a must-see collection of Johnny's stage props, costumes, video, and more. For more info and tickets, go to museum.tv.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody it's a lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
Bruce Dumont, we continue on Beyond the Beltway, and in case you were wondering whether the issue of Bill Clinton's past indiscretions with women might sneak into the debate this evening, Donald Trump could not wait for the debate, and Professor Miller, you have the latest news.
Yes, I'm on the Wall Street Journal News Alert email list, and in an extraordinary unscheduled event just 90 minutes before the debate, Donald Trump held a media event with women who have accused former President Bill Clinton of sexual misconduct, including Juanita Broderick, Kathleen Willey, and Paula Jones. So he is bringing out the fact that there is a man who actually did the things he supposedly maybe dreamt of doing or said he could do or whatever, and he believes that this is important to that the voters know about that.
Okay, so here's the question. He holds a press conference or a media availability before the debate. Then the debate starts, and you got Anderson Cooper, and you got Martha Raddatz. They're there. The audience, this is a town hall meeting. Do the candidates make an opening statement? Mm-hmm. Do they react to that? Or I don't know exactly what the format is. Do they go right to questions from the audience? And will people in the audience ask about this issue? What do you think?
Oh, they have to. They have to. They should address this right away. I mean, this is it. This is why everybody's tuning in. Absolutely. I'm actually very glad to hear that. I think, you know, Trump is a smart guy. He's got brilliant people around him. Kellyanne Conway, I mean, I think is just phenomenal. And I think this is great. I mean, just those three women, that is a story that more people do need to know. I mean, there's a lot of millennials now who've never heard of these women.
I wonder if they couldn't have done it without Donald Trump, though, because if you're in a media event or a press conference with Donald Trump, then that gives some tacit support to his candidacy. Right. Could they have come together as women and done a separate media event?
Breitbart, if you actually Google it, Breitbart did an interview with him.
This is a real opportunity. It really puts everyone who's in that debate this evening, whether or not they're going to do follow-up questions on this, because at least according to the debate, it's not supposed to be turned into an interview or a Q&A with Anderson Cooper and Martha Raddatz, neither of whom are likely to let go of this issue or put it on the same level as the WikiLeaks, or as you say, alleged WikiLeaks. I mean, this is
Trump's acknowledging he's a smart guy. He's acknowledging the press cannot be trusted. I mean, they are so in the tank on this election. We've never seen anything like it. But you know, the Paula Jones thing, I think is all three of those women are victims. It's shameful what the Clintons did to them. But just take Paula Jones, in case people have forgotten. She sued Bill Clinton for sexual harassment. She alleged that he exposed himself to her.
Right.
he settled with her for $800,000. That is a lot of money for a civil suit. And
there were perjury charges, and he ended up in
disbarred,
being disbarred.
But
here's the issue. You're now bringing up the old stuff, which, as you say, a lot of millennials don't know about it. They will likely read about it as a result of what's happening literally before the debate with Donald Trump. There'll be a lot on that story. But as that story comes out, part of that the question is, how much of that story is going to talk about what Hillary did? Because in my view, that's the relevant point.
I agree with you.
I don't think that what Bill Clinton, because you know what? There was a trial, and Bill Clinton was found not guilty by the United States Senate. He was impeached, but he was found not guilty. Now, the courts in Arkansas, that was a different story.
Yeah.
Perjury was involved. He is disbarred. That's the worst thing you can do to a lawyer, right? You're a lawyer, right? Yeah. Nothing worse than that.
Thing.
So the question is, how much of this digging up this old dirt is it going to energize? Does it energize? I'm going to give my opinion, but I want to get who does this story energize?
I think it energizes people who were in Hillary Clinton's case, people who are already not a fan of hers. What this does is it puts her in the spotlight and it shines a light on how she reacted and responded to how the women in the case with her husband were treated, how she reacted to that. That was the issue that I always had, was how she responded.
Who does this story energize, in your view?
I would use the word re-energize, because a lot of people probably step back after Friday night after hearing what was said. This may allow them to come back out. In other words, people who were Trump supporters, when they hear what he said about women, they withdraw. Now they see what Bill Clinton did and how Hillary Clinton let it happen, in a sense. Okay. They can come back and be out front without any problem.
I want to go to Michael next, and then I'm going to give my answer. I want to hear everybody's response. Michael, you're next. Who does it energize?
Well, first of all, I just think it's sad that it's getting to this point, because I was hoping that the open format tonight at the town hall, historically, that's when real Americans get to talk about the issues and the concerns.
I think we all agree with that.
Because we're stripping away the moderator. To your point, they're there to just be the refs. It's the, you know, I'm working two jobs. What can you do to help me?
Right.
Let's connect with you one-on-one. If we get distracted from that by the stuff that's happening at the press conference before, or that would happen on Friday, that's a real disappointment, because this is the chance for the debate commission is to be applauded for letting real Americans ask their questions.
But who does it energize?
His press conference?
The messiness of Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, all of those issues, who does it energize? Which sector of the population is energized?
I hope it'll educate some independents, but it really energizes the Trump supporters, because here reminding
they
people
they don't need energy.
It's going to expose the tremendous hypocrisy here. I mean, we've got a Democrat, Mike, you know, good man, Democrat, Cook County elected official. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like he needs a fainting couch. Oh, I got the vapors. Oh, you know, somebody Donald Trump said some words 11 years ago. This exposes. Here are people.
When did I start living in Victorian times?
When did I become like in a hoop dress
in the antebellum South?
I have
the vapors. For anybody watching at home, I do not have the vapors.
A fainting couch. You're so offended. You're so offended by words 11 years ago.
All right, I've given the four of you an opportunity to give the answer to my question. Unfortunately, none of you.
Okay, sorry. I'm waiting for four strikes. I'm waiting for four X's.
Energizes.
Bruce's four X's in front of us.
I am absolutely forced to give the answer to my own question, and the question is, who is energized by this? And you've heard me say this umpteen times. 45 people love one candidate, 45 people love the other. A campaign is about 10%. How do you get that 5.1? These are people that don't watch shows like this. They don't listen to shows like this. They don't read the Wall Street Journal. They are, I guess, I want to say, not up to speed on all political issues. But their vote counts as much as everybody around this table. And I'm going to refer to them. I adjusted it last week. I referred to them as the National Enquirer vote. This energizes the National Enquirer vote, because, you know, to them, this isn't such a salacious story. This is what gets them to buy the National Enquirer or any other rag at the supermarket every week, because they like stories of titillation, adultery, you name it. They like all this stuff. They're not offended by it. That's why they put money down to buy it. and they're going to be the deciding factor. And these are people that they're in no polls. There's no way to be. They may be Trump people, but probably they are apolitical. But their vote's going to count. And I'm going to say that the messiness of all the women, I mean, that was a tabloid story for a year and a half in this country. It's coming back with a vengeance. A lot of new people are going to learn about it. A lot of old people are going to be reminded of it. But again, it's the National Enquirer vote. That's what this story is about. And Donald Trump is a good friend with their publisher. Back shortly.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
Thank you all very much, Admiral Kelly, Captain Card, officers and sailors of the USS Abraham Lincoln, my fellow Americans. Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
My name is Johnny Carson. My job is to make you laugh.
Johnny Carson brings you TV legends and classic moments every night on Antenna TV.
Don't make fun of me, Johnny.
And now through October, don't miss Here's Johnny, the making of The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. It's a must-see collection of Johnny's stage props, costumes, video, and more. For more info and tickets, go to museum.tv.
All right, Bruce Dumont back. We've got a great show. Hopefully you're enjoying what we're putting on the air as much as I am enjoying what happens during the commercial breaks. Michael, you wanted to make a point, and then we're going to go back to calls.
The only thing is that I'm hoping that tonight we just continue the conversation on the issues during the debate that we had when the two candidates were on last week, one-on-one. We started the conversation. We didn't get it all the way through. If it can stay about the issues, I think the American people will be reminded again that Hillary Clinton is the most qualified, most prepared candidate ever to run for president.
Okay. Well, there'll be a debate on that, I'm sure. Let's go to John in St. Charles, Illinois. You've been waiting a long time. Go ahead, John.
Good evening, guys.
No, he's fine.
And if you just heard the excerpts from Ed Klein's new book, you know, Obama must have said that with some sarcasm or some incredulity, because he spent apparently an inordinate amount of time trying to recruit Biden and Elizabeth Warren to run against Hillary. So either that, or he doesn't think qualifications are all that important.
Mm-hmm. The voters decide. That's a good thing for the president to say, but that's probably as true as when George Bush said that Clarence Thomas was the most qualified man to be on the Supreme Court. A little hyperbole on both sides.
Anyway, my challenge for the anti-Trump folks is that, you know, with the revelations that occurred over the past couple weeks, including the immunity agreements given out by the Justice Department and the FBI, the releases that indicated Obama was actually emailing with Hillary's private server, and he knew well before he admitted that he.
What's your point, John? We got to get to your point.
The point is that the never Trumpers should instead fall in behind Trump and get him elected, because then the legislative branch would have the ability to get rid of him and put Pence in, versus having Hillary in, because we really now, with those revelations, we now have such a politicized Justice Department and FBI. You must clean house there. That's even more important than the Supreme Court,
okay,
in my opinion.
John, you bring up an interesting point, and I sort of teased this before we went to the break, and that is there has been a move afoot among some Republicans to have Donald Trump removed as the Republican nominee for president. It's a very difficult, torturous task, especially when 12 states have already begun to have early voting and the ballots are printed. It would be very difficult to do that. And so, again, people can talk about it, but I don't think it's likely. But let me offer an adjustment to what you just said. What if Donald Trump, maybe tonight, said, or maybe in the next debate, maybe you wait until later, that if he gets elected, He's going to plan for all the things that he says, but he is going to resign as soon as he's elected and turn the presidency over to Mike Pence.
And he's a man of his word. He's a man of his word. I promise you, I'll totally do that.
You're too smart.
Totally not going to be president.
No, wait, hold on.
I did all of this not to be president. Totally believe me.
You got the vapors again. Step away. Please.
It's
Pence. Whatever. He's going to get it. Totally going to step away.
Okay. Go ahead.
Come on, Bruce. I know you don't really believe that. You're way too smart for that. This whole thing. Why should Donald Trump drop it? It's ridiculous. It is even the people pushing that silly narrative know that it's not going to happen. That is a ridiculous narrative that they're feeding to the press fence to try to create momentum to undermine him.
Why
isn't Hillary? Why are we talking about Hillary Clinton dropping off the ballot? She's the one who's actually.
Bruce, I never thought I'd agree with Doug. I completely agree. We want Donald Trump to stay in.
The question they want Donald Trump. But my question is this. In the wake of the vice presidential debate, there was a lot of praise for Mike Pence. Yeah. A lot of praise for Mike Pence.
And rightly so.
So my question is, there's probably a lot of people sitting on the fence. I don't know what – it might change your – I think we would change one vote here.
If I knew for sure that Donald was stepping down, I would vote for him.
Well, I like Mike.
I like the Republicans to win, but I don't want it so bad that I'm going to vote for him. I like the professor, but he's promoting a weed smoker.
I don't think
that's what's great about Donald Trump. Mike Pence was good. Donald Trump brings out the best in people. Mike Pence is a better candidate.
He brought out the best in Billy Bush. He brought out a quality conversation.
Mike Priebus is a better chairman today because of Trump.
Right now, Donald Trump tonight's got to bring out the best in him.
Go ahead. I don't think it would work, only because, again, the latest comments that he's made, as egregious as they are one in a string of offensive remarks and things that have happened, rallies where people have been assaulted at his rallies. He has offended immigrants, black people, Mexicans, the disabled. So this is the latest in a string of comments that he's made and things that he's done, and yet he won the percentage
of Republicans. Come on, Michael, wait a second.
Doug, relax.
I was talking before about the debates. I think, just back up Mara's point, I think this may be the first presidential debate in history where a member of the public asked the candidate, are you going to drop out?
Wait a second.
Donald Trump, everybody, a quick point. A quick point. A bunch of articles is going to say.
Everybody's getting the vapors.
I got to wonder, are you still running?
Yeah.
What about Doug for 10 seconds?
10 seconds. Everybody's talking about Donald Trump's comments and words 11 years ago. Hillary Clinton gets a subpoena from Congress, and she destroys 33,000 emails and directs the destruction of phones and mobile devices. She obstructs justice. Why are we talking about which candidate should drop out here?
Which candidate is unfit? Wait a second. We have a lawyer here.
You have two lawyers. Three.
Well, here's my question, Michael. What about what Doug just said?
We're all going to represent Mike with three lawyers here.
What about what Doug just said? That, again, you had people who destroyed evidence after it was subpoenaed by Congress. As an officer of the court, what's your reaction to that conduct?
I think that the Justice Department and multiple committees in Congress have looked into it. And the Justice Department, and I'm a former federal prosecutor, and I know these decisions are weighed at a high level, completely apolitical. They take it very seriously. And what they say is on a teleprompter written out as to what the comments were going to be. And when senior Justice Department officials said, we don't see any criminal conduct, we see
That's not what Comey said. We see
stupidity, we see bad practices, and Secretary Clinton said at the first debate and whenever asked.
Counselor, you're misrepresenting. That is not what the FBI director said.
I made a mistake.
She lied.
I shouldn't set up the personal server. It was a stupid mistake. And I regret it. But in this particular case, though,
It was after the initial testimony. It isn't about whether that she was going to be indicted or not. It was the subpoena from Congress asking for additional records, and the record shows that after that was served, a couple of her minions destroyed the evidence.
The people have taken the fist.
Just that piece.
I don't think that it should be that one, the indiscretions of one candidate or the unethical or even illegal behavior of one candidate absolves the other candidate of their indiscretions. I think if we're going to be honest about what both candidates have done, I think we should be honest.
The
things that happened on the Democratic side with Hillary Clinton were it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. It was wrong. That's that. But also with Donald Trump, you can't say, well, that person's doing wrong so that I don't signed on my wrongs.
We have two wrongs here. Let's go to Chris in Bella Vista, Arkansas. Go ahead. You're on the air, Chris.
How y'all doing tonight?
Okay, how are you? What can we do for you tonight?
All right. Well, I just wanted to make a comment on what Donald Trump said on the hot mic.
Yep.
Men that are rich or very well off and wealthy, it's known out there that there are sugar daddies. There are women that are willing to accept men's money or for them to take care of them, and it's deemed acceptable because those women choose that path. And I feel all he was doing was basically saying what is factual, that a man of his stature, there are women out there that will pretty much allow him to do whatever he wants because of his stature.
Do you feel the same way about Bill Clinton?
Exactly.
Okay.
And now the issue that
Bill Cosby.
Well, no, I don't know so much about Bill Cosby because he drugged them and he took advantage of them like that. But men of power are able to take advantage of women only because they allow them to take advantage of them. It's a tit for tat type situation.
Let's let Amara respond to that.
I don't think that's true at all. It's easy to say that they allow them, but that I think that's victim blaming. Again, men with power, it should not matter. They should not be able to, against a woman's will, because what he was talking about is grabbing a woman. He wasn't talking about seducing or wooing a woman, which implies consent.
Right.
He was talking about using his...
Well, he said he tried to seduce her and he set her down.
Exactly. Yeah. In that case where there's no consent, to take the extra step because he is a man, because he's stronger, because he has his own power, lording that over women.
And let me just interject this. Billy, here's a bulletin.
Right.
Let me just interject this. Billy Bush has been suspended from the Today Show. NBC News says that videos of his talk with Trump surfaced. And as I said about 20 minutes ago on this program,
the Bush family cannot catch a
break.
It's a
bad year for the Bushes.
Donald Trump is dismantling the Bush family.
NBC cannot throw... That is, that goes all the way up to the top because they knew about that audio, and if they really had a big problem with it, is this somehow weighs in on their their fitness? They set on all this time, and they were perfectly happy having Donald Trump make loads of money for them with this very popular show.
They did not necessarily know about this piece. I think this piece is an early piece. Yeah. People may have looked at it, but again, the relationship with Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump again. You know, Telemundo fired him. He sued Telemundo, and then he was on the Tonight Show, and all the there's all kinds of relationships.
They sat on that and released it with the WikiLeaks.
Well, I don't know. We don't know that. 1-800-723-8290. We got lots of callers. And when we come back, we're going to delve into a veteran political operative who's going to offer his assessment of campaign 2016 and more of your calls at 1-800-723-8290. Niles, Illinois, Houston, Texas, coming up on Beyond the Beltway. I'm Bruce Dumont.
If you look hard enough, go off the beaten track far enough, you'll find an America teeming with the unusual, the odd, the downright strange.
I'm Will Klinger, and I'm your guide on a package tour we like to call
Wild Travels.
Join me for a new season of Wild Travels, Sundays at 10:30 p.m. on WTTW Channel 11.
The Museum of Broadcast Communications is Chicago's perfect place for senior citizens. Enjoy a stroll down memory lane. Reminisce as museum artifacts, photos, and classic TV shows trigger recollections from your childhood. Enjoy the TLC you'll receive from our expert tour guides. Discounts for groups of 20 or more. Schedule yours right now at museum.tv or call 312-245-8200. Plan your fun trip now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Bruce Dumont back. Joining us now is Doug McMillan, McMarlin, rather. Doug, nice to have you with us this evening. Good to have you with us on the broadcast.
Bruce,
are you there? Yes, go ahead. Doug, by the way, is a veteran political operative. He's worked for President Bush and Laura Bush and Karl Rove and John McCain and Sarah Palin and John Kasich and has been involved in presidential politics at senior levels in the operations and strategy of presidential campaigns as it relates to media. And let me begin, Doug, as we're going to do a 15-minute segment here. We got the debate starting in less than a half an hour. With everything that has hit the fan just today, I mean, literally in the last 90 minutes, with this press conference by Donald Trump and some of the accusers against Bill Clinton, what would you expect to come out of the debate tonight? And is there anything that Donald Trump could say tonight that would get him from behind the eight ball where he apparently is right now?
Well, I think Donald Trump should be saying things that are much more, you know, related to national politics and also foreign policy and economics, because that's really the important aspect here. You know, this is locker room conversation that, you know, you very clearly talked about on your show tonight. And it's not that big of a deal. Actions and words are two different things. And, you know, I would go back to, if I were advising the Trump campaign, advise them to go back to talking about the real issues that face Americans, because Americans vote with their wallets. They vote with their hearts, and they, you know, but not things like this. This is a redo of the 1990s, once again in 96 when we had the Monica Lewinsky blow up or the Bimbo eruption of 92. It's all over again, but this time it's being proffered by the Clintons.
I wonder in this particular case also, you know, Donald Trump has been sort of lucky at many points in the campaign, and I'm wondering, because the event tonight is a town hall meeting, I wonder if he lucked out, because if it was a trained journalist or journalist, if Martha Raddatz and Anderson Cooper for 90 minutes could drill in on these issues, or anyone, they would really be going after him. But again, I think we have to see what the folks have to say. Mara, you're shaking your head.
Well, I just take issue with saying that this is not a big deal. I take issue with the word bimbo, whatever. I think this is offensive, quite frankly, because yes, the issues are important. Foreign policy is important.
Well, that's the way the Clinton people referred to it when in 92.
Well, and that it's offensive, yeah, regardless. And to reduce, because this affects half of the population. So this is an issue that is just as important for the everyday lived experience of women as foreign policy and economic policy. And so we should not. I think we can encourage Donald Trump to stick to the issues and to talk about the issues without reducing or minimalizing this issue, because it affects half of the population. And it is not a big deal, because for women who have actually experienced this, some on a day-to-day basis, to see how normalized it is and to have men, quite frankly, saying, well, it's not a big deal, we should focus on the real issues, it's offensive. And that doesn't do anything for Donald Trump.
I think Donald Trump agrees with you, Marla. I mean, he's the one who has done the most, is really serious about helping women and everybody, you know, with jobs and opportunity. I think bringing the, you know, the three Clinton victims in for a press conference is to show, though, that there's a humongous hypocrisy here. You know, the Democrats want to make a big deal. I'm not saying it's not a big deal. It's Donald Trump is sorry about it. But for the Democrats to get on their high horse and say, oh, it's so terrible. Bill Clinton, who's actually sexually assaulted women and raped women, according to at least one accuser, is he ostracized by the Democratic Party? No, he's brought out. He's the keynote speaker. Oh, he's Mr. Explainer. They have him at all the, you know, feature him at all the conventions. He's their Lincoln.
I just think
practically
we should...
idea that they actually care about what Donald Trump. The idea that they're offended by what Donald Trump said 11 years ago is absurd.
I just think in this situation we should move away from treating this as a political football and treat it for what it is. I think we should look at this issue on its face for what it is, which is the issue of how women are being treated and misogyny, and not use it by either candidate as a political football.
I think you're going to see Donald Trump say, "You know what? I'm going to do better."
All right, let me.
I asked this question
of our guests earlier. I want to ask you, what do you think Donald Trump should say this evening to try to mend fences with women, or is there anything he can say that would be meaningful?
I'm not quite sure that there's anything that he could say. I mean, the issue is he had a locker room conversation. And unfortunately, that's what occurred. And, you know, it'd be nice to apologize to America and everybody, you know, which is actually more than 50% of the population, and, you know, you try and make amends. But the fact is you can't. And
should he apologize? Should he apologize to his own wife and his own daughter?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because I would say that, you know, first of all, I don't believe that Donald Trump is, you know, look, people talk about celebrity all the time. And I think what the issue here is, he was talking about celebrity, not talking about women. And he happened to use some, you know, graphic language to talk about that. And that is probably the aspect here. Let's get back and not belittle the race for the presidency by getting into silly things like this.
No, but the reason I asked that question, Doug, the reason I question this, and I sort of agree with Amar on this, but going back to you know, when the accusations came out against Bill Clinton, the Monica Lewinsky, when he was president, not the things that happened that he survived, frankly, during the presidential
the time that he was impeached.
That period of time. But prior to that, I mean, there were stories that came out in '92. There were stories that came out in 96, and Bill Clinton weathered the storm. The American people could have voted up or down, and they voted for Bill Clinton, knowing much about his womanizing, which they hope was in the past. It turned out not to be the case. When you got to the Monica Lewinsky case, it became a different story for a variety of reasons. It led to an impeachment. But a lot of people, and I think a lot of women at that point, they were mad at Bill Clinton, and they wanted Bill Clinton to sort of say something publicly to his wife and apologize for the way he had treated her and Chelsea.
And that never happened.
But here's my point. Tonight, those same women, they're 20 years older now, and there's a million, 10 million more in that age group. It would seem to me that if there are people that are really ticked off at Donald Trump for what he said, they probably feel sorry for Melania and Ivanka because he is admitting, he's already admitted that what he did was wrong. It seems to me that he has to begin with an apology to the American people, but also to his wife and his daughter. And the American people are either going to believe that or not.
That would be the right course, actually, to his wife and to his daughter. Look, people say things in, you know, I'm not saying locker rooms, who cares about that? But people say things that they, you know, 12 years ago or 11 years ago, whenever it was, are not good things. I'm sure we've all said things, all three of us on this call, that we probably regret. But taking ownership of them and apologizing for them is a very important aspect.
Mm-hmm. Mike,
you know,
he's got a comment.
Bruce was just telling us that NBC has suspended or maybe permanently fired Billy Bush from NBC. It sounds like NBC knows that those comments alone disqualify somebody from hosting a morning talk show. I think the American people know they also disqualify you from being president of the United States. I also want to say, can we please kill this narrative of acceptable locker room conversation? He was talking about how he has in the past assaulted women and gotten away with it because of his fame. Wasn't the hypothetical. He said he's actually done it. What we also saw after, what we also have had reported after the Friday leak of this conversation 2005 was the woman he was talking about, Catherine O'Dell, who is a host of Entertainment Tonight, the one who was married, who made an approach to, when she rejected him, right. Mr. Trump reached out to executives at her network to get her fired. So it's not words. It's words plus action. We've seen this report. We've seen this reportedly with him. When he is upset with women rejecting his romantic approaches, because who wouldn't want to be with Donald Trump? He retaliates. When they work for him, he tries to get them fired. When they sue him, he tells me he's going to bury him. And now when one of them rejects his advances, he tries to get her fired.
Your hero,
so
Hillary
it's
Clinton, insulted half of America, called them deplorable and irredeemable. In the past, she referred to young African-American men as super predators and said they had to be brought to heel. Do you think that's acceptable? Why doesn't that make her unfit for office?
Oh, because, again, we're talking words and actions. Maybe you weren't listening here, but
she
I was
called,
saying
she called
the
young
words
African-American
and then the
males
actions
super
are
predators.
And he retaliated.
And so they had to be brought to
he
heel.
Retaliated. He retaliated. He
Bill
took
Clinton,
action
mean,
to back up his words.
You mean, Clinton, of, you mean the way Hillary Clinton Trump retaliated?
Are there a lot of Trump voters that agree with that assessment?
They all do.
How about super predators?
They agree that it's wrong, that it's despicable, that Hillary Clinton used that kind of language. Yes, they would. It's despicable.
If we're being honest, I think there's a large contingent of Donald Trump supporters that do agree with that assessment
by
Hillary Clinton.
Come on, you can't generalize like that. What do you mean?
Go to any of the rallies, if you've listened to the rhetoric.
He has a lot of, Donald Trump has a lot of black support, first of all.
He's got a lot of black friends.
He has a lot of black support.
A lot of black friends.
Doug, we got to say farewell to you. Thanks very much. We'll invite you back on again when we got a little more time. We got to move on. I'm Bruce Dumont. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Amlinks Interior Landscape is that we can come in, work with your budget, and create a fit that makes sense for your facility at that time. Our goal is to create foliage designs that not only look incredible the day we put them in, but you can go back 2 years later and it is still maintained and has grown as a perfect fit for that customer's environment.
Call Amlinks now at 888-880-TREE.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
There can be no stable and enduring peace without the participation of the People's Republic of China and its 750 million people. That is why I have undertaken initiatives in several areas to open the door for more normal relations between our two countries.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Let's go to Houston, Texas, where Bobby is listening to us on POTUS XM tonight. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing, Bruce?
Very good.
I noticed the CNN panel here with the four Clinton accusers.
Yeah.
And I thought it was very telling. Paula Jones gave a little testimony, as did Kathy Shelton and Kathleen Willey. But I got to say that Juanita Broderick was probably the most damaging, because as I've heard some of your panelists in your recent telephone caller call in and say that, actions are different than words. Juanita Broderick, I can quote her by saying that she feels that actions speak much louder than words. And she said that Bill Clinton raped me. Hillary Clinton threatened me, and I don't think that there's any comparison. Just with that, from someone who had been what she's been through, according to how her account is, I think it's probably the most damaging to the Clinton campaign.
I think historically there's some other piece, and I don't know whether this will come out or part of the journalistic way this story has been playing, but Lisa Myers, who was a respected reporter for many years, used to report regularly on the NBC Nightly News. She had done a very in-depth interview with Juanita Broderick. She did a portion of the reporting on the story and had an interview with Juanita Broderick that was supposed to run within 10 days prior to the election in 1996. And that was squashed by NBC News. They decided they would not let that story go on. Lisa Myers ultimately left NBC. I'm not saying there was a relationship between those two things, but again, it was curious that there was a story with these allegations from Juanita Broderick. Now, maybe NBC looked at that story and said, you know what, there's nothing to it. But the reality was that at that particular point, NBC had on tape a woman who was going to allege that the president of the United States, because he was the president at that time, had raped her early in his career. That story was killed at that particular point, and I would suspect that in the next several days, there may be a regurgitation of that story again, only because of the relationship that Billy Bush has now just been suspended by NBC, and it was NBC that broke this story. So we may be swimming in some murky media waters.
Yeah, and if I remember, Myers followed in that interview. She says, "You're not just believable. You are completely believable."
Right.
And I mean, she was stunned by this woman's story that she believed everything she said.
And another accuser, Kathleen Willey, had gone on in a highly visible interview on CBS 60 Minutes, and that was Mike Wallace, I believe, gave that at least exposure. So again, if you're a millennial, you may not know any about this, but you know, for almost 2.5 years in this country, this little dramatic saga involving Bill Clinton and the drama of what he did
all
and what he did,
all those
it
women
was on the
credible.
News every night.
All those women are credible, and you know, Paula Jones, you know, got Bill Clinton had to pay her $800,000. But just very quickly, I saw an interview with Juanita Broderick, and she said that when the Ken Starr's investigators came to her, you know, part of that. Juanita Broderick related about how Bill Clinton, during the rape, had bit her upper lip. And one of Ken Starr's investigators, a female, I believe it was an FBI agent, told Juanita Broderick, "That's his M.O."
Okay, we're going to move to Bill.
Disturbing, disturbing.
San Antonio, Texas, also on calling this evening on Sirius XM. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, yes, sir. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All of it, this is all great, but you know what? None of this means nothing in the real life workers in this country.
Yep.
We need
to
know who's going to. I said, yeah, this has nothing to do with real life to the workers in this country. We do need to know what we're going to do about our tax problems, our spending problems, our illegal immigrant problem in this country. I live in Arizona. I see it every day. I drive truck 300 days out of the year. I pound up and down the road to take care of my family. I am so sick and tired of the stupid stuff we're talking about. Let's deal with what really means something to everybody's life.
Bill, we will find out whether people ask those questions tonight. I will bet they will ask those questions, but I will also make a prediction. In the post-analysis, all of the discussion will be about how this issue has been handled, and all the people out there asking questions about their lives basically won't even be covered. Jason, listening to us in Auburn, California, on the internet. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize I'd still get a chance. Yeah. So I think that the whole story was kind of misrepresented or misunderstood because people didn't listen to the precise conversation. So the whole thing was that those two guys were joking between themselves about the absurdity of being a star. They were going to go on this show, and they were going to be stars. That was the whole thing. And so he was being totally absurd about, oh, he's going to come out of the bus and have to use Tic Tacs for his breath because he'd automatically be kissing any woman he saw when he comes out. That gives you a clue to the absurdity of the whole conversation that was going on.
I think I'm going to challenge you on whether or not it was an absurd conversation, and I will also predict, because there's already been a tip, that people have been going through the Howard Stern tapes, the numerous times that Donald Trump was on that program, and I would say that when you're on the Howard Stern program, there's all kinds of conversations that are going on, and I will bet there's several more embarrassing audio tapes relating to Donald Trump and comments about women that we will all hear between now and the time we get together. But on that note, we have to say farewell to our guests this evening, and we thank Mark Carnaggi and Amara Enya and Doug Ivendahl and Mike Miller. Our thanks this evening also to Fritz Goldman and to Colin Bobbitt for their assistance in the production of this program. Don't forget, stay by the debate. Next Sunday night, we're going to be talking about the debate, and we're going to be asking our question, is Donald Trump still in this race? And also, what effect has all this had on the latest polls? That's next Sunday night. Until then, I'm Bruce Dumont. Good night from Chicago.
Loves vacationing in Florida. So why not experience it as it was meant to be? Where turquoise Gulf waters meet tranquil island beaches. Feel the powder soft sand between your toes. Revel in a glorious island sunset. Shop the boutiques of a seaside village. Ride horseback along tranquil waters. This is Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key. Real, authentic Florida, where you can discover an intimate downtown and sip cappuccino at a sidewalk cafe. Catch fresh fish for dinner. Even tour a working winery. Just minutes from all the rest Florida has to offer. Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key. Plan your visit online at BradentonGulfIslands.com. That's BradentonGulfIslands.com.
The beauty of Amlinks Interior Landscape is that we can come in, work with your budget, and create a fit that makes sense for your facility at that time. Our goal is to create foliage designs that not only look incredible the day we put them in, but you can go back 2 years later and it is still maintained and has grown as a perfect fit for that customer's environment.
Call Amlinks now at 888-880-TREE.
If you look hard enough, go off the beaten track far enough, you'll find an America teeming with the unusual, the odd, the downright strange.
I'm Will Klinger, and I'm your guide on a package tour we like to call
Wild Travels.
Join me for a new season of Wild Travels, Sundays at 10:30 p.m. on WTTW Channel 11.
My name is Johnny Carson. My job is to make you laugh.
Johnny Carson brings you TV legends and classic moments every night.
Don't make fun of me, Johnny.
And now through October, don't miss Here's Johnny, the making of The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. It's a must-see collection of Johnny's stage props, costumes, video, and more. For more info and tickets, go to museum.tv.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you.
Experience more history at museum.tv.